Thank you for your consistency. We thank you for the Holy Ghost today. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God. We pray that, God, that you would anoint us today in a dynamic and in a mighty way. We give you glory and honor today. And we pray that you would anoint these lips of clay again today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's amazing how the Lord himself worked hard in order to establish his ministry among the Jews. Now remember that in this particular situation of or time of history, that the Lord came unto the Jews. He did not come unto the Gentiles. But the Lord had to establish his ministry among the Jews, because the Lord knew what made the Jew. He knew what the Jew was made of. And so the scriptures show us here that in Luke chapter 4, that here's the Lord in the come up to the synagogue at the Sabbath. And of course he came at the time of reading, and he delivered the book unto him. And as they delivered the book unto him, he particularly went to the book of Isaiah. Because what the Lord was attempting to do, he was attempting to establish himself among the Jews. That's another thing about, I talked about this morning about ministry. It's one thing to be called. It's another time to be sent. But there is also a time that you must establish. And here's the Lord establishing his ministry upon the word of God. He didn't establish his ministry from word to mouth. He didn't do that. Didn't just tell them that I was the Messiah and I'm the one that's to come. No, he establishes ministry among the Jews through the written word. And so as he opened up the book and began to read, he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year." I don't think that anyone that was there could question his position of ministry. Now, when you hear someone minister and it's not based on those 6 points, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 for a minute. I want to establish something. I always go back to the book of always, my mind reflects back to the book of Genesis often, because that's the book of beginnings. Verse 1 and verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, and cattle and creeping things, and beasts after the beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the face upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God began to make a declaration in the realm of the spiritual concerning mankind. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, this is the Lord when he makes this declaration in the realm of the spirit concerning man. Man and beast and cattle were all created on the same day. But man was distinctively different than any other cattle or beast upon the face of the earth. He was created to the image and likeness of God. Now, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to take you back to let you see where man was before he left. Before he left, he was made to the image and likeness of God. Man is still made to the image and likeness of God. Now, some would have a discussion about that. But man is still made to the image and likeness of God. If man was not still made to the image and likeness of God, there would be no provisions for his salvation. There would be no provisions for his salvation. We were made to the image and likeness of God, which equals his holiness and his intelligent design. In his likeness, we're the only creatures upon the face of the earth that have the power to create. Every other creature is limited to his distinctive powers. But man has the power to create. If you don't believe it, look around you. The evidence is all around us. You won't find an animal on the face of the earth that does the same things that we do. But of course, we were also made in his image, which is his holiness, which is not saying that we're holy, but there's a reasoning mechanism within us that separates that which is right and that which is wrong. Am I right? I don't care whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. There's a mechanism within us that separates that which is right and that which is wrong. It's our reasoning. We have the power to reason. And so because we have the power to reason, we have the power to make decisions and make determinations according to our moral convictions. Am I right? That's made to the image and likeness of God. Some people from the natural sense have a less of a moral conviction than others. Some people that don't even have the Holy Ghost got a greater moral conviction than some people in the church. Because man was made to the image and likeness of God. And so since man was created to the image and likeness of God, this was his origin, and this is where he was. And so therefore, when man fell from grace, God immediately worked to make provisions. Now, what I'm saying is, this is not something that you never heard before, but this is something that we need to really visualize. You need to really visualize where you were, or where mankind was, or humanity was, before he had sinned. And now you need to realize where sin is and what sin has done to God's creation and what sin continues to do to God's creation. It's very important for us to understand that. The wage of sin is death. It is death. All have sinned and come short to the glory of God. That shit really gets you. As a Christian, that really gets in my thinking capacity, because it helps me to understand that. I'm no better than Martin here. It really does help me to understand that. I might be more educated than him, and at a certain area more intelligent, and whatever that might mean. But I'm no different than him in the eyes of God. And I believe that we have to make that difference in order for us to understand the importance of our salvation. We need to make that type of difference. But of course, here we are as created beings in the presence of God, made to the image and likeness of God. And you know what the problem is? The problem is that many times, even some people in the church don't realize what was lost when sin came in. We don't realize what was lost. And the reason why we don't realize what was lost when sin came in, because we were born and shaped in iniquity. That's all we ever knew. But we can imagine. And the reason why we can imagine is because everybody imagines a perfect world. Everybody imagines a perfect and a better environment. If you don't have that in imagination, or work that in your imagination, you'll become suicidal. Your problems and your circumstances will overtake you, and you'll have no hope in life. But the important thing is, understand that here is Jesus, and he came through to really preach a full message to man. And a full message that is what mankind needs. Jesus said, I come to preach the gospel, the Spirit of the Lord, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, he's not talking about the financially poor. He's talking about those who are spiritually poor. Because sin robs us of our heritage. It robs us of our heritage. We can have an imagination in our minds of what we should be able to claim. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that when the Lord created man, he created us that we should have what? Dominion. Dominion. That means that you are supposed to have authority over everything and every living creature that was subject upon the face of this earth. You will have the dominion. Brother Wallace, do you think if you went down to the zoo and walked into a lion's den that you would have dominion? Thank you. Thank you. you would become a nice piece of steak for that lion. Because sin has robbed us of our dominion. In other words, we still have dominion over the animals and over the things that we see, but we have to tame them. We have to bring them into a place of subjection because they are hostile towards us. So sin has brought a spirit of hostility on the face of the earth. Division, separation. Because once we sinned, I believe that now the animals see you as no different species as what they are. Does that make sense? They see you as no different species as what they are. The only difference is that you have the power to reason. You have the power to make decisions. They live according to their instinctive ability. That's where they are. And so the Lord says, I come to preach the spirit, to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news to the poor. In Matthew chapter 5, the first beatitude says, blessed is the poor in spirit. The spirit of man is torn down and broken because of the results of sin. This is a message to men. Whatever message could man need? Whatever other message could man receive? And then he goes on, he says, and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Anyone ever had a broken heart? People deal with broken hearts every day. Not just from relationships, but from failures. Life failures. Broken heart. The Lord came to preach to the broken heart. To heal the broken heart. There's not a person in here that if you have a broken heart, that the scriptures and the gospel cannot heal it. I am the God that healeth thee. That's what he tells in Deuteronomy. Amen. I am the God that healeth thee. He can heal your broken heart. He can make that failure in your life a positive situation in your life. He can do it. Because that's all part of the message. That's why he came. That's why I'm preaching. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel. Amen. To the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Some of the young people in here really don't understand what it's like to fall to failure or deal with a broken situation or a broken relationship. But I tell you what, I don't care whether you're in the church or not, you'll have your opportunity. Life will bring that opportunity. It will bring you that opportunity. But I'll let you know that the power of the Lord through his salvation can heal your broken heart. He to preach deliverance to the captive. The captivity is from the bondage of sin. Some people, sometimes we only think the bondage of sin is only dealing with the weaknesses of our flesh. But the bondage of sin is dealing with the captivity of your mind. Your mind is in captivity. Your mind is in captivity. This is one of the most difficult things of being released from sin and habitual things, is releasing the mind. Releasing the mind to the place that the mind can find liberty beyond its habitual approach. There's a lot of things that we do in life that we don't have to do, but we're used to doing. Whether they're good for us or not, we're used to doing. Now, how do we become released from that? You know, some people, you hear somebody say, well, I've been doing this for 30 years and I've been doing it that long. I'll live doing it, I'll die doing it, or whatever. Because their minds are not released from whatever they're doing. The Lord wants to free our mind. And when you, I find that when your mind is free, your body will follow. Just like a man that's addicted to alcohol or tobacco or whatever. It's the freedom of the mind. See, what we sometimes what we do is we have people that we have people fighting their flesh. Bring the flesh under subjection. No. We need to bring the flesh under subjection. But before you're going to have real victory of bringing the flesh under subjection, you got to free the mind. The mind has to be free. And the only one that I know that has the power to free the mind is through the power of the Holy Ghost. In the flesh, you will never be free. I don't care how righteous you are, and I don't care how much you know about the Bible. In the flesh, you will never find freedom. Because the only way, because the Lord said, I have come to preach deliverance to the captive. The whole world is in captivity. The whole world needs to be liberated and free from their mind. Do you, you know, I was thinking the other day, what would the world be like if everyone had the Holy Ghost? Now, don't get me wrong. I think what people don't understand is that if you know anything about, if you have a knowledge of, if you have a knowledge of Bible prophecy, you understand one thing. That when the Lord comes back to have his 1,000-year reign, everyone on earth will not be saved. Everyone on earth will not be saved. He'll rapture the church and take the church out. And of course, naturally, what will take place is he'll bring the kingdoms of this earth that are left to some unity, and there will be peace. But they'll still be in their sinful condition. All you gotta do is read the scripture. They'll still be in their sinful condition. And of course, and that's why it gives the power of Satan the authority to rise back up and to tempt man and to tempt man again to bring a final closing to all of it. So in other words, even when the Lord is here upon the face of the earth and with the church itself, the atmosphere still has a potential. Because there's still, because the natural man or the unsaved man or the nations that are still left are still in their sinful condition. It's only God's grace that has allowed this raiment to stay upon the face of the earth. Now, of course, there's a choice there that they can make. I know some of y'all didn't know that. Some of y'all didn't know that. See, I'm getting quiet. I mean, some of y'all didn't know that. Y'all thought, well, you know, some of y'all didn't know that. The Lord will reign 1,000 years upon the face of the earth. It's called a millennium. Of course, everybody thought that we're going to serve, everybody reign the millennium. We all going to serve together, sit down together. We all going to be friends. And me and Brother Camp going to have a cappuccino together and praise God by the Holy Ghost. We probably will. But everybody around you will not be saved. Well, what's the reason of the church? The church will have dominion over everything that remains. Hallelujah. So in other words, brother, you know, brother Pendergrass, you might be in charge of all the Ramstein area. I don't know. The Bible says that we reign for him, with him. We'll reign with him. He will not reign alone, that the church will reign with him. Oh, I'm getting, woo, I need to open up something here. We will reign, you will reign with him. In other words, he will not reign as king alone, you will reign with him. You will take your crown. How can you be a king unless you have a crown? And you will cast it before him and say, he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But by God's grace and mercy and through the rapture, he will make you king and priest. Amen. To reign with him. This is a glorious thing. To reign with him. Where is he going to reign at? In heaven? No. He's going to reign on earth. Anybody ever heard about 1,000-year millennium? Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Kind of hard to believe, huh? People got the Holy Ghost. It's still hard for them to believe. You know why it's hard for you to believe? Because our minds are captive in bondage. Amen. This is the beauty of the Holy Ghost. Because our minds are captive in bondage about the surroundings of the life that we live. We can't fathom it. We can't see it. You can see it once you get in the Holy Ghost. You can see a better situation and a better world and a world at peace and the power of God on earth and all types of things and wonderful things that will take place once you get in the Holy Ghost. You will yearn for it. You will look for it. You will desire it. Hallelujah. Man, I got, woo, that's good. I got something back here reading. Go ahead, brother, go ahead. Pull that scripture out. That's good. Because that's what it's for. A thousand year millennium reign. Praise God. I'm glad I hit that one. That was pretty good. That was a little meat there now. Let me back up and get a little cereal out. Hallelujah. Praise God. But that's why the Lord gave us the Holy Ghost. Because these things are spiritually discerned as you read the Word of God. He gave us the Holy Ghost for that purpose. He didn't write anything that he did not want us to know. Did that make sense? He didn't write anything that we could not understand. Amen. Now, I'm talking about the millennial reign. I believe in a literal millennium. I believe in it. I think everybody in here that's a balanced Christian believes in a literal reign. I didn't say when rapture was coming. You didn't hear me talk about pre-trib or whatever. You didn't hear me talk about that. Did you hear me? No, you didn't hear me talk about that. Because those things to me are yet to come. Those things will happen in God's time, in God's way. But the millennium and the reign of the millennium is a clear situation in the Word of God. It's very clear. Amen. So everybody don't think that we are, you know, I hear people say, well, and then it'll be the end of the world. It will be the end of the world, the end of the age. That's right. Amen. It will be the end of the world. It's just like when the Lord told Noah to get on the boat, right? It was the end of the world. But there was another age that came later. If it wasn't, we wouldn't have been sitting here. See, that's scripture. Huh? And scripture interprets scripture. Amen. That's the important part. Subsidiaries and men's books don't do that. That's why I say a preacher, it's important for him to stay in the Word. Don't come up with what somebody else said, somebody thought. Forget that. I don't want to hear what nobody said. Tell me, give me some scripture. Let me go back and look at it and be able to, and let the Holy Ghost minister to me. Amen. Don't come up and tell me about reading on the internet or some book or whatever you come up with, or documentary that you see, you know, on PBS or something. I don't want to hear all that, because that don't mean anything to me, because I'm supposed to be Holy Ghost filled. Amen. Take me to the scriptures. Hallelujah. And if I don't understand, then I ask the Lord when I don't understand, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my lack of understanding. Because guess what? That book that you read right there is an eternal book. You will not understand everything that you read. So if you think I don't understand everything that I read. And some things I'm still mulling over. The Lord got me going, and sometimes he doesn't reveal it until years later. Because there's some things I couldn't receive now, and there's some things I would put in my thinking thought. I would put in my thinking cap and think that's the way. Listen, let me tell you something. The Word of God is like this. It has one meaning, but it can have 1,000 applications. That's the important part of understanding Revelation. And the Lord wants our minds to be free. And then it goes on, it says, and to recover his sight of the blind, to the blind. What do you mean recovering sight? Now, everybody thinks about being spiritually blind. But this relates to truth. The recovering of sight. The ability to see. In other words, like we talked about in the book of Genesis. We done hit Genesis, Revelation. Because why? Because the Spirit of God and the Word of God gives us the ability to look at truth. To see it the way it actually was. Truth is the foundation of the will and purpose of God. It's God's foundation. It will not change. It doesn't matter what we think about it. It doesn't matter how we feel and what we think. Our assumptions. Well, maybe God meant this, or maybe God meant that. Or just like when people tell you, say, well, you know, that's how y'all interpret it. Well, the scriptures tell me that the Word of God is to no private interpretation. So that means that if you're going to deal with the scriptures, that in order for you to have divine understanding and revelation of it, you need the Holy Ghost, because it needs to be revealed to you. So don't come up and tell me about interpretation. When people come up and tell me about interpretation, I close it off. One guy was asking me the other day, you know, the guy asked me the other day, the guy said, well, he wasn't in the church. And he says, well, it must take you all week to prepare for a sermon. You must be writing it all week. I said, no. I said, a lot of the sermons that I have or messages that I preach come Sunday morning. He looked at me. You mean to tell me you don't have notes and things written down? I said, well, very seldom. I mean, you know, very seldom do I have any notes. I just follow the scriptures and the unction of the Spirit that God has given me. He looked at me strange. But man, you're supposed to prepare all week. Well, I felt like I wanted to tell him, well, if you live for God all week, God will minister to you. He'll put things, don't get me wrong, it's nothing wrong with putting things on paper. It's nothing wrong with having notes. It's a good thing. I have some notes today. It's nothing wrong with having notes. It's nothing wrong with the Lord putting something on your heart, you just laying it all out and getting out all the insight. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a great thing. But that's not the only way God's going to get it done. That's not the only way God's going to get it done. Because if that was the case, then the Lord would call scholars. But he's not calling scholars. He's calling useless folks like me. Praise God. That's right. I mean, could you imagine me standing up in Harvard trying to get a crowd? They wouldn't want to listen to me. Hey, man, they would want to know how many degrees I had on my wall and where I went to school at, and this, that, and the other. That's important to them, because that's the captivity of their minds and where they live at. It's a normal thing. But God wants us He wants to bring sight, recovery of sight to the blind. He wants us to be able to see. He wants us to have knowledge and insight of His word and of His power and of the things He's done and the things He wants to do. Amen. He wants us to have knowledge. We need to understand that God wants us to have the truth. He doesn't want us to sit around and believe in evolution and all kinds of things that, you know, that have possibilities. No, the truth has no possibility. The truth is truth. There is no possibility in it. But the problem with man is, because he cannot see, he has a problem receiving and accepting truth. Because he can't see. Especially an educated man. It's hard. The Bible talks about a natural man. And you know, Corinthians talks about a natural man. A natural man is hard for him to see. Because he is natural. He's cardinal. He's cardinal in his mind, his thinking, and all of that. God wants us to be able to see. Because sight makes a difference. You know, when you can see what the Lord did in the spiritual realm in the past, it gives you hope for the future. It empowers your prayer life. Praise God. When you look at the scriptures, when y'all look at the scriptures and you read the scriptures, praying for what they say. It's just like we tell the kids about David and Goliath, right? If you understood the scriptural position of David and Goliath, it has such a powerful message in there. There is such a powerful message in David and Goliath. And everybody know that there's no way that a young 16-year-old boy would have a chance against a brute like that. It is impossible in the flesh. Not only that, he was not only a brute by himself, he had four brothers. Now, when I think about the guy had four brothers, now I come from Philadelphia. The guy got four brothers. I ain't gonna mess with him. Because I ain't got none. Huh? He had four brothers. But you know what? If you read the scriptures in Chronicles, one of them brothers almost got it. One of those brothers almost got it if it wasn't for Joab. Huh? If it wasn't for Joab, that one brother would have got it. Amen. There's a powerful message in David and Goliath. There's powerful messages in the scriptures. There's a powerful setting of power, of truth, of enlightenment. Praise God. Because God wants us to have liberty, and He wants us to have liberty. He wants us not to be blind. The world wants you to be blind because the world is blind. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. A lot of people bruised, right? Your ribs are bruised, your back is bruised, your mind is bruised, your heart is bruised. See, this what people don't understand about the church is, you know, sometimes we get in this our little group sessions, and we think it's all for us, don't we? But you know, the church is a hospital. It's for people that are sick. One of the worst things in the world would be laying out in the street and an ambulance come along and pick you up and take you to the hospital and the hospital turns you away. You know, I tell you, well, you know, you can't come in because you got the wrong insurance card. Amen. It's just like if a person walked in the door and said, well, I'm Jehovah's Witness. Well, you got the wrong insurance card. You need to leave here. But this is a hospital. Here's a sick man. He got an insurance card, but it's obviously that the insurance that's supposed to be paid ain't being paid on it. Hallelujah. Have a seat, man. Sit down. Praise God. The healing balm is on its way. All you have to do is just come down to this altar right here. Amen. Set at liberty them that are bruised. People are bruised all around you every day. And sometimes you're too irritated to deal with their bruising. You're too irritated, too insensitive. Folks are hurting. Or you can think about what they did to you. I'm telling you the truth. That's all you think about, what they do to you, how bad they are. Huh? I can't witness to them. Man, you're talking about their bruise. You need to talk to them. You need to, if you can't talk to them verbally, you can talk to them by being a living epistle. You need to be open. You need to be what God wants you to be. Amen. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh my. Brother Greg, what is the acceptable year of the Lord? It's the coming of our God. I'm telling you, if a preacher don't preach them six things, if I don't hear that in his message, it's not of God. Because that's the message for men. I've come back to minister to you. I've come back to die for you. And one time, and the next time, I will come back to live with you. That's what the message is all about. Huh? You know, I like what Brother Demas said at the conference. He says, when we going to stop eating bread and become the bread? That was good, wasn't it? When we going to become the bread? In other words, when they going to eat us? Praise God. I thought, hallelujah, he's so right. When are we going to become the bread? You know why we don't become bread? Because bread, we're afraid of the challenge of being bread. The flesh gets in the way and tells us it's just too much to sacrifice. Well, you know what? I'll tell you one thing. I think I got some problems with the church. You know one of the main problems I got with the church is? The church is lazy. The church is lazy. You know why you're lazy? Because God has blessed you. That's exactly why. Because God has blessed you. Instead of you taking the productivity of what God has placed in your life and using it for his kingdom, you use it for your own self. And it makes you lazy. And when you don't have it, you come back and you whine again, and God in his goodness and greatness, he gives it back to you again. But you're lazy. The church is slothful. Lazy. Now, somebody asked me, said, well, you know, maybe the Lord needs to take all this away from us that we might do what God wants us to do. And I thought, that's not the Lord. The Lord wants you to take the provisions that he's placed in your life and make them productive. He's not taking care of you. Listen, Brother Cam, you're not going to be able to witness nobody if you're down at the Bonhoeffer with a cup in your hand. That's a poor witness. Ain't nobody going to receive that. Do you tell everybody about Jesus, but you say, hey, man, listen, you know, you got all the camps running around with cups in their hand. Hallelujah. That's a poor witness. Well, all we here, we stand here, we got cars. Listen, man, we putting gas in cars at $4 a gallon. Still driving. Huh? Still talking about going on vacation, driving up here. You know something's wrong. We don't realize how blessed we are. We don't realize how blessed we are. Huh? But we'll get in there and go down the street for a vacation before we drive over next street to try to win a soul. Because we're lazy. It's all about us, God. Fill my cupboard up. But I learned one thing about in the spiritual condition. Here's where it goes. God cannot refill your cupboard until you empty it. When you empty it, he'll fill it back up. But you can't empty it for yourself. You have to empty it for others. Because it's all about others. It's all about giving. I thought about a situation today that I was going through. And I thought, Lord Jesus, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. The Lord said, listen, I gave you the power to give. Amen. It was just stressful. I gave you the power to give. 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 Do what you need to do. Doesn't matter whether it's giving you your time, your finances, whatever it might be. Give. Give. Give freely. Don't let nobody, listen, and don't let nobody cramp you. You know, when now I'm going to tell you something that I do that some people might slight me in doing. You know, when I go to the commissary, right? You know how you had the baggers, right? I'm going to tell you something. And here the baggers, they, you know, they'll take the bags out of your car, put them in your car, so on and so forth, you know. Well, you know, I give the baggers money according to the rate of inflation. You know, a couple years ago, I used to give them $3. Now I might give them $5. Can I afford to give them $5? Not really. But you know what I tell them? They're doing the business. They're out there trying to make it. I want to help them. The Lord showed me, I want to help them. I want to help them. It ain't all about me. What I got, my all, is my money. I want to help them. If I'm employed, I want to make sure they're employed. And that's where it's supposed to be. I'm employed. I'm working. They're out there trying to perform a service for me to make it more convenient for me. So what I do, I reach in my pocket. And I dig deep. Here, man. And they say, oh, sir, you're so grateful. I'm not doing it to get their allegiance. I'm doing it because the Spirit of God within me says, give. Give. You know what? My cupboard ain't ran out since. The Lord keeps filling it up. The Lord keeps paying the bills. The Lord keeps doing this. The Lord keeps doing that. The Lord keeps on doing it. I don't know how he does it and why he does it, but I know one thing. When we do what God wants us to do, and it's not just all about us, it's about his agenda. It's about his work. It's about what he wants us to do. It doesn't matter how you do it. You don't know how much, I don't know how much I minister to them guys when I do that. You don't know. I mean, I can't hold them out there for a Bible study. But I can set them up for a Bible study. Because it's all about their soul. Huh? Let me tell you something. You can't preach to a soul if you can't feed it. Do you hear me? You cannot preach to a soul if you can't feed it. Because the scriptures tell you, here you trying to preach to a man, the man needs bread. Oh, you going to tell him, hey, we'll pray. No. The Lord said, feed him. Feed him. We got to have the right spirit and the right attitude because we want to one day be with him. That's what I want to be. That's the object. It's to be with him, and then others will be with him. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. And that's how the Lord wants us to react. And that's what God expects of us. And I tell you one thing. He will take care of you. He will take care of you. Trust me. Listen to me. I got some testimonies in here right now. I can have some people stand up right now and give some pretty powerful testimonies about what the Lord is doing in their life. Not before, but now. Now. Not because they listened to me. It's because they listened to the Spirit of God that was ministering through me. See, there's a difference. If you listen to me, you're going to get caught up by humanity. If you listen to the Holy Ghost, you'll be set at liberty. Let's stand, y'all. We got to get out of here. I went longer than I wanted to go. Hallelujah. But we got to have some victory. And we've got to have some power. And the only way that's going to set us at liberty and give us the power is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The altar's open. Just come and pray like you want to.